Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said,
praise God, praise God, praise God. My favorite song. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who could save anybody. Trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. That means that nobody's exempt. God can save anyone. Hallelujah. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the spirit of a soldier, where we come each time to share the knowledge and the wisdom of God's word. That which God has imparted upon me through the Holy Spirit for me to share with you. And at one point, at some time, and I'm believing it soon, we'll be exchanging it as well, voice to voice, heart to heart, spirit to spirit, and mind to mind. Hallelujah. I'm always reminded of the scripture that I think is so essential. And if you get nothing else from the show, you should always remember this scripture. Proverbs 4, 20-22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ears unto thy saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Oh, we're looking for vaccinations. We're looking for cures all over the world. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If we truly want the abundant life, we truly want the cure for the spirit, the mind, the body, and the soul, we need to adhere to God's word. We need to put our attention to God's word. We need to let our ears hear the saying, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And then we should not allow it apart from our eyes. We should find some means, some way, somehow to keep God's words in front of us. And then we reside in our heart. So when the time comes where you will need the power of God's word to move those mountains, it will already be there. You don't have to look at the computer. You don't have to look at a paper. You don't even have to open up the book, because the message, the power of the message resides in your heart. And it will be life unto you as you find it, and health to all your flesh. Hallelujah. Again, I'm your host, Brother David. All right, let us go right into prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. This is our way of communicating with God. Spending that time, if you want to know someone, you got to spend time with someone. And as you spend time with someone, revelation of that individual comes out. This is the same with God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for this golden, amazing opportunity that you gave us your breath and strength today, that we may be here to share your word. You told us to go into the world and share the gospel, the good news. People are looking for good news when all they do is spend time looking at the bad news every day on the big screen TV or through media. But there's a good news. There's good news that we can adhere to that will elevate us, motivate us, encourage us, guide us, and direct us. And that is your word. Father God, we are so fortunate to live in a period of time where we don't have to duck and dodge. We don't have to hide. We can get your word. And as we get your word, it will become the seed that impregnates us, Father God, to begin to grow and develop in you. I thank you, Father God, for this golden opportunity. Despite of ourselves, despite of our humanness, you gave us this good word. You sent your word to heal us and redeem us from our own self-destruction. What a wonderful God you are. Father God, I thank you right now that you allow this vessel, this frail, fragile vessel that falls short at time, you still would utilize me to go forward to share your gospel. And I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this privilege. I am humbled by it every time I get the opportunity to share your word, that you would utilize me, and I thank you. But as I go forward, I pray for now, Father God, for the world, the country, the states, the cities, the communities, the neighborhoods, the family, each individual, that those that are born and yet born, Father God, that they will get this golden opportunity to hear your gospel, the golden opportunity to accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, the golden opportunity to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, the golden opportunity to receive the utterance of tongue, to directly communicate with you so that our native language would not get in the way. I pray this right now, because once one can receive you as their personal Lord and Savior, that's when the power begins. It is the lighting of the dynamite of your mighty word. Otherwise, when it's not lit, it's just potential. But this potential, Father God, you give us through your word will allow to us to be able to share this knowledge that would explode, Father God, and make a mighty impact in people's lives. All they have to do is have ears to hear, a heart to believe, a mind to receive and understand the power of your word. So, Father God, continue to utilize me, Father God, so we may share your word, grow in your word, mature in your word, that, Father God, you will set us on the path for your will to be done in our life. Father, that anyone who needs healing right now, I pray for miraculous healing on their body, that every atom, molecule, cell, tissue, organ, system will not only operate in a healthy divine condition the way you designed it, but it will be free from sickness and disease. It will be free from sickness and disease. I thank you, Father God. Jesus died upon the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Upon him was the chastisement of our peace. By those 39 stripes that he took upon his body and shed the blood, I plead that blood over everyone right now for the healing power. Yes, I know you use man, Father God, but he's just the one to put the Band-Aid on. But you're the one to heal us, and I claim that healing. I claim that healing not just for the physical body, but for the emotion and the mind. There are people struggling in their mind. They are so bombarded with anxiety, depression, anger, hatred. Father God, I ask you to move mentally and emotionally in their lives so that, Father God, they can bring back the unity of being one within themselves and one with others, that they will be able to exercise, Father God, the love you intended us to have. As you so loved us, Father God, you gave us your only begotten Son. Let us begin to give love to others. Let us help others to feel valued and appreciated and loved. I ask this in your mighty, holy, and majestic name. I thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. As I stated in my prayer, this is the golden opportunity. This always really moves me because, again, I often think back, this wouldn't have been me. This wouldn't have been me talking about God's word. I would be like many. I would know of his word, but I would not know his word. There is a distinction. When we begin to know his word, now people can't sway us to and fro. They can't throw us off our square. We now know the power of our Heavenly Father and what he can do for us. And as always, I like to share different types of quote. I believe that God utilized man and give them knowledge and wisdom as well to write out certain quotes that inspired them, such as Martin Luther. Martin Luther said, "Faith is living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that the believer will stake his life on it 1,000 times. Stake his life on it 1,000 times. Oswald Chambers says, "God can do nothing for me, until I recognize the limits of what is humanly possible. Allow him to do the impossible." As the scripture tells us in Matthew, what's impossible with man is possible with God. Hallelujah. And then Martin Luther says again, "I've held many things in my hand. I've lost them all. But whatever I place in God's hand, I still possess." Hallelujah. And Mark Batterson says, "The circumstances we ask God to change are often the circumstances God is using to change us. Be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind. God created me a clean heart and renew the right spirit in us." Circumstances that seem so defeating, so disappointing, so let down can be life-changing for us. Hallelujah. And Joyce Meyer says, "We don't need self-confidence. We need God confidence." Amen. Now, the scripture confirms some of these quotes I just said. Jeremiah 17 says, "But blessed is the man who trusts in God, whose confidence is in him." And Psalms 139:13-14 says, "For you created my innermost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." When you recognize who was the designer, who was the one that sculptured you into who you are, even though you came through your mother's womb, he was the designer, he was the creator, that he fearfully and wonderfully made you, you can now have a confidence that's certain of who you are. You are a child of God. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. In my weakness, God's power can magnify itself, that we can move to do the things he set us to do." Hallelujah. Isaiah 40:31, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Right now, there's a seasoned, I don't like to use old, I like to say the seasoned elder who is so inspiring and is inspiring me right now. She is in hospice. But if God will do, if it's in his will, she will be 108 years old. She has already have set in place what needs to be done for her homecoming. She is of sound mind, and she is still speaking God's word. I believe she was 103 when I met her. She ordered me the Bible online herself. She remembered my son, who she only met once, but I would see her often, and she would always bring to my attention, "Tell that boy yours, God is moving in him." She could quote the word like nobody's business. See, she, I believe, is the example of our youth being renewed. Maybe the outward body doesn't look so youthful, but the spirit is full of youth, being renewed and regenerated, even to the point when it's time to transition back to home, back to spirit, she goes with a youthful attitude that all will be well. Hallelujah. So I want to share a little story with you. It's called Confidence and Self-Esteem. Hallelujah. Confidence and self-esteem were best friends. They went everywhere together. If confidence bought a new dress, self-esteem brought one just like it. They were close. One day, a new kid came to their school. His name was Peer Pressure. He had a friend called Hateful Words. They decided to give Confidence a hard time. They constantly teased her. They forced her to do terrible things. It was so terrible that Confidence lost self-esteem. When Self-Esteem wanted to start some classes, Confidence says they wouldn't be any good. Then one day, Peer Pressure introduced Confidence to Doubt. He wanted to ruin Confidence, but Peer Pressure said he couldn't yet. Self-Esteem couldn't understand what was wrong with Confidence. Confidence now hung around with depression, low self-esteem, and overeating. These girls were friends of Peer Pressure, and Self-Esteem no longer had any friends. She no longer felt good about herself. She went to see I Am. I Am Good Words told her how to talk to Confidence. He introduced her to his daughter, Encouragement. Encouragement and Self-Esteem went to find Confidence. Self-Esteem hoped she wasn't too late. The girls found Confidence in a stupor. She was no longer vibrant, a happy young girl. There were dark circles under her eyes. She had gained so much weight from eating that she couldn't even move. Encouragement grasped and Self-Esteem cried. She begged Encouragement to do something. Encouragement began to hug Confidence. She kissed her and loved her. She told her that she was a beautiful young lady who had a lot going on for herself. Encouragement held Confidence so tightly that Self-Esteem thought she would smother her. Confidence began to cry, and as she cried, she seemed to lose weight. Then a bright light suddenly glowed from Confidence, and she began to smile. Peer Pressure and his friends didn't like what Encouragement was doing, and they tried to attack her. They hit and they pulled at her, but they couldn't pull her away from Confidence. Confidence began to speak. Get away from me, Peer Pressure. Take your friends and go. You no longer have any power over me. Confidence was now a glowing light, and she and her friends made sure that Peer Pressure and his gang could never bother anyone in their town again. Hallelujah. You see, the moral of the story is learning who you are and your strengths is a lifelong process filled with highs and lows that, like a roller coaster, will test the very heart within you. However, when you allow the power of God that he puts in you to take control, the ride becomes fun and you are ready to take the ride again with more confidence than when you first began. So if you feel that encouragement is not your friend, then try to find encouragement in yourself. Self-esteem and confidence will follow. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That moves us right into the second part of our show. Last week, we talked about confidence. We said, don't cast away your confidence. You see, we don't want to cast away our confidence in God, the Son, or the Holy Spirit, or ourselves. We pointed out a few key points, such as the meaning of confidence from the Oxford Learner Dictionary, for which they define confidence in a brief but relevant manner. It's the feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or trust something. In addition, they elaborated on the word by stating that there were five perspectives that we can entertain about the word confidence. First, believe in yourself, a belief that your abilities to do things and be successful. Two, believe in others, the feeling that you can trust and believe in the ability and the good qualities of somebody or something. Three, feeling certain, an impression that you are assured about something. Four, trust, a response of reliance with blind faith no matter what is happening around you. And five, you have a sense of peace that surpasses all understanding. We all consider each individual confidence level in life can be challenging because of the vast amount of variables, rearing, teaching, environment, and the multiple unpredictables which we see every day. Presently, I'm down in Florida. I prepared to come to the Sunshine State and just wear my short sleeve shirts and what have you. But this morning when I went out to pray around 6, it was cold. It was 37 degrees. It was cold. I literally had to put back on my long trench coat to go out and walk. See, there are unpredictables that can change the level of our confidence. See, it can also influence one's capacity to develop confidence in self and others, which comes early on in life. They say by the time you are 5 years old, your personality has basically already been formed, and the rest is just additive. Life experience, education, rearing, all those things. So it's important that if we're even rearing our children, we want to build a level of God confidence as quick as possible in them, because it will begin to be the stair step that moves them to the higher grounds of their life. And since these factors do have such an impact on our life, it would seem to me that we would put more importance on understanding what true confidence is, which would lead to a stronger level of self-worth and self-esteem. Unfortunately, we seem to sometimes develop a level of pseudo-confidence, which I call the Hollywood imaginative confidence, where we spend a great deal of our lives trying to impress others, where the confidence that our Lord desires us to possess seems to be fragile and unstable. I've seen this often. I've seen people who walk by faith, who are classified as the Christian individual. I've seen the people in other religious groups or spiritual groups and other ethnicities that in the times when life is not too challenging, everybody looked like they got faith. It's like the old classic, if you had played the numbers back in the day, every number is a good number to it come out. Because then the reality will show itself. This is the same. When life presents pressure to you, it will determine where your faith level is at. Then we looked at Peter's example, for which we can see that having God-like confidence is so important. But let us look at another example of someone who didn't have the God-level confidence, but God used them anyway. You see, God's people, the Israelites, were slaves in Egypt for centuries and cried out to him for help. God answered their prayers through Moses, who had fled Egypt to the wilderness. While tending his sheep, he witnessed an amazing phenomenon, the burning bush that being not consumed. When he came closer, God spoke to him and said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cry out because of their slave driver. I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come to rescue them. So now go. I am sending you, Pharaoh, to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Exodus 3:7-10. Moses argued with God, revealing his insecurity, lack of confidence. Now you would think that Moses, who spent, at least from one with his birth, when I think it was the cousin that found her or the sister that found her and gave her to Moses' wife, when they found him, he was there, I believe, about 40 years. So you would think that he had leadership roles, led armies. We would think he had the confidence like General Patton. But then when God approached him, he revealed his true insecurity. Again, he had that Hollywood image confidence, if you will. So Moses says, who am I that I should go, he asked. God responded, I will be with you and promise to bring you to worship on this mountain. This is out of Exodus 3:11-12. Then he came back again. He said, what if they do not believe me or listen to me? God demonstrated he would use miracles and signs to show proof. You know, sometimes people back in the day and even present day, they can't believe unless they see. Unless they see it. So even when Jesus was doing his miracles, he was doing it for those who lacked the confidence or the faith, just to give them a booster, if you will, to move accordingly. Hallelujah. And how often anybody who has ever been in leadership had concern with the subordinates or the followers listen. Then he came back and said, I've never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue. God responded, who gave human beings their mouth? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you and teach you what to say. Exodus 4:10-12. Moses ended with, please send someone else. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do the assignment. Many of us are given assignments that we should be executing, but as the old saying goes, the graves are filled with talents and ability that never got used because, like Moses, they didn't have the confidence, and I would like to say the God confidence needed to execute those talents and skills. He still wouldn't believe he was enough for this assignment, Moses. Although angry, God showed Moses grace by sending his brother Aaron to speak for him. So even in the midst when you think you can't do something, God will provide a ram in the bush. He will not leave you hanging. And Moses obeyed, and God did great and wondrous work through him and delivered his people from the slavery in Egypt. And that's a whole other story about people and their Hollywood version of confidence down the road. You see, Moses, who felt totally inadequate, eventually led his people to freedom, doing miracles along the way. God had even used Moses to do miracles. We know the big one, part of the Red Sea. This biblical account demonstrates how God's calling in our lives does not depend on our ability, but our obedience. God equips the ones who obey. You see, we need to have faith, but we need to be able to follow through with confidence and obedience. Hallelujah. Now, we all can agree that having self-confidence is important in many ways in our lives. And without it could have influential effect on us from a psychological and emotional standpoint that could even stop us in our tracks for doing all what God had called us to do. But we can see that if we rely on our ability and not on God, who gives us the gifts and talents, we will be like Moses, hesitant to do God's will. But the great thing about it, people, is that God's will is not dependent on our will, but his will, which is going to be done. As the word would tell us, his word does not return void. Hallelujah. And we can see that through Moses, that despite his feeling of adversity, now you would think that here you got God Almighty talking to you and telling you he wants you to do something. This is not like it's human to human. He has God, the Heavenly Father, talking to him, saying, I'm going to equip you, I'm going to prepare you, and I'm going to send you. Yet he still had hesitation. See, this is why this word tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Because, see, something has to be changed for you to have something transformed. So Moses had a mindset of the worldly way of thinking, and he did not have that, he did not have that God-like confidence that was certain, that was assured, that had trust and was ready to roll. He had that version of self-confidence, or I call it the Hollywood image confidence. But when you get confidence in God, there's a different way of approaching any circumstance or situation. So this week, I'd like to share some steps in building a strong foundation like Christ displayed as it relates to confidence in our Heavenly Father. Sometimes the lack of confidence is rooted in fear, and fear will stop the best of men and women in their tracks like we saw with Peter and Moses. Funny how both of these individuals were grown men, but David was a child. And with that childlike faith, the faith that didn't doubt, question, or even seek explanation, he was only trusting God to exercise and fully participate in his assignment. Let's get right into what we need to develop the strong foundation like Christ to have that full confidence in our Heavenly Father. In order that we develop a strong God-like confidence, we will need to do his will. So we must have that childlike faith. As mentioned, David has shown that as a child, he trusted God to deliver him in any given situation, whether he faced the lion or the bear or the giant man. His childlike faith was fully convinced that his Heavenly Father could and would deliver. So what does childlike faith look like? You see, one, like a child, we should be filled with a certain level of innocence or uncompromising faith. Matthew 18:3 says that we must change our worldly perception of self-confidence and become more like children, totally dependent on our Heavenly Father, who would never enter the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? Matthew 18:3 more says that, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Even though the literal writing of childlike faith is not mentioned in the scripture, but I believe the scripture is saying there is a humbling and an innocent like a child that has confidence not in ourselves but in God. As again, I've been watching the show called Rifleman, which is about the father and a son relationship. And in that, Mark, who is the son, has just unbelievable faith in his father. He would step up to the bandits and the bad guys and the thieves and the robbers and be bold to stand up and tell them what his father would do. He doesn't even hesitate. That is the level we have to get to. He has that full, he has that full confidence in his Father. Two, like a child, we should marvel in the Heavenly Father's existence, even when our head knowledge don't understand. You see, Hebrews 11:6 said, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes here must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Even though Moses, God came to him, and even though Moses probably had some idea, and I know those times the Pharaoh and them worshiped many gods, but he didn't have the full confidence that God exists and he could do what he said he could do. We must be like children, as I mentioned about Mark and Lucas, that we must be like children to trust our Heavenly Father that he can do what he said he can do just because he exists. Hallelujah. Three, like a child, we should be trusting of our Heavenly Father. Matthew 18:4 says, therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is greater in the kingdom of heaven. Taking a step-down position is humbling. That requires trust in the sense that you believe you don't have to take charge or be in control. For like a passenger on a plane, you must trust God as you would the pilot taking you to your destination. This is the same that God, when he gave us an assignment, when he said, I know the plan I have for your life, plan for you to prosper, not for harm, or hope in the future. Their hope in the future is that we're going to get to a destination. We're going to meet a task. We're going to achieve a goal. We must have that type of faith. And most of the time when children are with their parents, and let's say father to son, and the father's taking them somewhere, and I can confirm this, because no matter what, Isaac trusted Abraham to follow his father. Now, there's variations of what the age was. Some say ballpark about 13. Now, a 13-year-old child can be a little rebellious, but he trusted his father. He trusted his father. Matter of fact, to the point he trusted him so much with the blind faith that he even asked God, where's the sacrifice? Excuse me. Asked Abraham, where's the sacrifice? Hallelujah. And if I got this correct, he said, God will provide. Four, we must have the child, like a child, we should have total reliance on our Heavenly Father to sustain us. Psalms 118 tells, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in man. Most of the time, we trust in man. We trust in what we can see. We trust in the five senses. But when you begin to trust in God, you trust from the heart. You know, he said, there's a great deal of the scripture that tells us everything resides in the heart. Very rare we go here where your trust should be in your head. Your trust should be in your five senses. It should be trust the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to your own understanding, not in your head, but in all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Again, remember, someone directing your path means you have to have trust in them that they're going to direct you the right way. Hallelujah. Five. Like a child, one is honest and bold to defend what our Heavenly Father can do. In Joshua 1:9, it states, I have not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I don't think we really understand the magnitude of that statement. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He is with us wherever we go. Again, he'll never leave us or forsake us. And Acts 28:31 says, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Like David, without hesitation or hindrance, without reservation, you speak boldly because you have now developed the confidence from the teaching that you got. Even when Jesus was growing up, he was with the Pharisees, Sadducees, or the spiritual leaders, and he gained even more knowledge, even though he was God manifested in the flesh. And then once you get this, you become bold. You become bold, like confidence did down the road. Hallelujah. So then we look at number six, like a child, there should be a level of curiosity where one is open to ask questions to gain the knowledge of God's godly understanding and wisdom. See, curiosity is a gift from God to draw our hearts closer to him. You and I were designed to be curious, and our Creator deposited us an appetite to know more. That was an advantage and a disadvantage in the Garden of Eden. But yet still, we now can utilize the more we gain, the more we grow. The scripture tells us to attend to his word, incline thy ears to thy saying. Let them not depart from thy, for keep them in the midst of our, for it is life unto us to find it. You have to be curious to search for something to find it. Hallelujah. See, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me, I will answer you and tell you, even show you greater and mighty things, things which that have been confined and hidden, which you do not know and understand and cannot distinguish. See, where Jesus often exhort his followers to become childlike so they could experience the kingdom of heaven in its fullest measure. Just as the children trusted in their parents to provide a source of wisdom greater than their own, so must we must come to rely and value the input and perspective and contribution of others as much as our own. You see, Matthew 19:14 says, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to these who are like these children. Childlike. We're not talking about feeble-minded. We're not talking about being gullible. We're talking about being humble. We're talking about being open to receive. No closed hand can ever receive nothing. Seven, like a child, we become eager to learn all about our Heavenly Father and all that he has and will do for us. You see, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way it should go, but even when he is old, it will not depart. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, that he will not depart from it. And John 17:16 said, so Jesus answered and said, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. See, Jesus understood that he needed to listen to his Heavenly Father so he could get the right guidance and be directed in the right way in order that he himself could do his assignment. He had full confidence in God, not in the reliance of himself while he was in the flesh. See, there's no good thing in the heart of man. Flesh is just dirt, and it's going to return back to dirt. It's very rarely you're going to find dirt, and if you wash it, that it's going to get white as snow. See, so we have to put full confidence in our Heavenly Father. You see, Proverbs 4:1-2 says, oh, hear, O son, a father's instruction. Be attentive. There's that attentive piece again, that you may gain insight. For I give you good precept. Do not forsake my teachings. Do not forsake my teachings. And 8, like a child, we are innately full of faith. Romans 12:3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. We all have been given a measure of faith. In order for the faith to really grow, to have full assurance in the heaven, we have to exercise this faith. I've never seen a muscle grow that nobody exercises. Now, I've seen people who grow, not through exercise, but other means. But again, is that really the kind of size that one would want to get to if it has no productivity, it has no strength, it has no power? So we must be willing to take what God gives us, not think of ourselves more than we ought to, and have that stinking thinking, but again, being transformed by the renewing of our mind, being flushed with the word of God, and having our heart to be, if you will, cleansed so that we may be able to go forward to have ears to hear, a spirit to receive the power from the Holy Spirit that we may go forward and execute with the level of God confidence. So next week, we will look more to developing our confidence in God without being so preoccupied with the approval of man. Well, we will no longer want to be people pleasers, but more to be God's servant who will truly give us the confidence that will produce God-like rewards, not man's pride. For as Martin Luther stated, that everything he held in his hand, he lost, which is nothing. Nothing but man's prize. But everything he received, he received and was placed in the hand of God, he still possessed. See, man, like many prizes that we receive, it is fleeting. It is fleeting. It doesn't last. But when God, we put our trust in God, our confidence in God, and God gives us his rewards, they are forever and a day. You see, Galatians 1:10 says, for I am not seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Our objective should be we want to be followers, servants of Christ. As I always like to say, I'm a student first. I'm a disciple and a follower who is moving to always be ready to lead. So when the question comes up, who shall I send? I can boldly say with courage and confidence, the God confidence, send me. So as always, before I part, I like to give the soldier's perspective. You see, too often we attempt to do everything on our own, and it stands to reason this is so because we were created in God's image and likeness. Then we would attempt to operate in the same manner to go forward and do it ourselves, as our Heavenly Father did when he created the world, and our big brother Jesus did that came to change the world. This we all have seen and done as children, as we would do with our earthly father. As I mentioned, the Rifleman series with Mark trying to be like his dad, Lucas. Hallelujah. However, just like children, we have the tendency to step out on our own. This would be mine as a prodigal son, believing that we got it all together, walking in that pseudo level of confidence that the world gives. Henceforth, falling right into Satan's trap of self-confidence, not God confidence. Let us not place ourselves in the worldly perception of self-reliance, but resign ourselves in God's dependence. The scripture tells us we can never please God without faith, without depending on him. Hebrews 11:6. So as always, in closing, and again, I can't say I came up with this. I heard this at a homecoming going, and I thought it was really profound, and it was said by a very young lady. She said, so the plan of salvation is real simple. It's ABC, accepting God, believing God, and confessing to God that Jesus died upon the cross for our sins, and that he died on the cross for our sins, and that fact that we as individuals, hallelujah, we as individuals could receive eternal life. But again, accepting Christ and turning turning away from our old man and moving into the new things to become more new in Jesus Christ is a process. It is a process. It's a process that is a life journey until we transition back home. And it requires that we just can't have faith. We have to add the work into it. I know many times when people get saved, they're looking for a miraculous change that requires no work from them. But that's not it. You see, daily we have to die to sin. Daily we have to put our body in subjection. And daily we have to pray. We have to pray that God is doing his transforming of our lives. And yes, we will make poor decisions because that is the nature of man. But God understood that when he said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart, that if we confess our sins, he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it is important that we wake up and we know the power of God's word. We know the power of God's word, a transformation word, words that will help us to begin to walk in him. And that was John 3:16, I'm sorry. So again, as we move forward, let us begin to trust God. Let us begin to trust God. Let us begin to humble ourselves unto God. Let us begin to take in the knowledge and wisdom, understanding of God's word to help us to grow. And let us be more like, if you will, the child when David stepped up to the giant than to be like, if you will, in the position of Moses. In those moments, we all have those moments where we hesitate. We lack that faith in God. Let us move in that childlike manner to humble ourselves to trust him with all our mind, heart, and soul. So as always, I'll always like to part by letting everyone know that there's a golden opportunity. If you tap into Kingdom Builder Development Institute, there are a lot of great things going to happen. If you feel that you're called, you have an assignment, which you do, and you're ready to step out in faith on it with that confidence from God, you can step out and contact us by contacting us at KingdomBuilderPlaza@gmail.com. Leave a message. You could call, and you can speak to one of the representatives at 313-583-9739 in order that you can communicate with someone who can help you to move in the direction of your path. And as always, sowing into the ministry will help the ministry to grow and go at www.givify.com, which is G-I-V-L-I-F-Y.com. It is a blessing to be able to talk about God's word. One thing that I'm learning as I'm growing, God has given me insight, knowledge, and the ability to bring things out of my remembrance. And sometimes when you make an error or you say something off, you get almost, uh-oh, I made a mistake. But you know what I'm learning? Again, I'm not people-pleasing. Because he that have ears to hear would recognize the importance that God is using us. And our humanness may get in the way, but it's not about our humanness. It's about our heart. When we recognize that what is in our heart, because that's what he's going to put the floodlight on. That's what he's going to search. That's what he's going to look at. He's not caught up in the outward appearance, even when they were making the decision who God was going to use. So we must recognize the importance of trusting in God, trusting in God, trusting in God. That is what the Holy Spirit has been telling me in my prayer time. Trust in God, trust in God, trust in God. And there's a song by the Winans, and it's called Trust in God. I love that song because when everything seems to be going wacky, you got to trust in God. It says when there's no money in your pocket, you got to trust in God. When you're in sickness, you got to trust in God. When you're in health, you got to trust in God. You just got to keep trusting him. So as you go through the week and you move forward, ask yourself the question, am I operating out of self-confidence or God confidence? Am I trusting in God or doubting God? When a circumstance presents itself, I was going to close, but I want to say this. So we were discussing this in the Bible study in Sunday school, and the issue came up about our level of trust in God if we have fear. But you see, unfortunately, when the fall came, fear came with it. But we don't have to entertain fear and give fear its credit. We just have to acknowledge that it exists and put it in perspective. There's terror, fear, and respective fear. And when we put fear in its perspective and realize that the body is going to respond accordingly, but because we have God's word and because he emphasized the importance of faith, we can begin to shift that one F, fear, and move it into what that F should be, faith, full assurance in the heavens. So we can go forward despite what our body is saying and move on what our heart knows, that God will never leave us or forsake us, that God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. God will provide all we need in provision. God will provide the protection. He will give us his whole armor. He will give us his angels. He will give us his word, and more than anything, he gives us the Holy Spirit, who will guide us, direct us, correct us, and protect us by illuminating God's scripture so we can do what God called us to do. This week, go forward trusting in God. Again, not relying on self, but dependent on God. And as always in party, you pray for me and I pray for you and watch the miraculous things that our God will do. You have a wonderful week. Again, I'm your host, Brother Dave. Be blessed.
From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you.